Welcome to the Living a Naturally Healthy Life podcast with Delaine ND, the podcast for people looking to correct chronic illnesses such as diabetes through lifestyle change. I'm Dr. Delaine Vaughn. As a physician, I see many patients who are ill because of lifestyle decisions such as food choices. Typically, diseases such as diabetes are managed with pills or injections. This approach creates a vicious, expensive, and unhealthy cycle of medication and then more medication to address the negative side effects. As a physician and a life coach, I work with clients to resolve their diseases, get off their medications, and live a naturally healthy life. If you don't like the healthcare system in America, I recommend you use less of it by being naturally healthy. So if you feel there has to be a better, more natural way to live a healthy life, you are in the right place. This is the Delaine MD Living a Naturally Healthy Life podcast, episode number 17. Welcome back to the podcast. Thank you so much for joining me. I hope you're enjoying the information you're getting from this. I hope you're finding it helpful. So, a couple of announcements. On December 7th at noon, I will be having a seminar at a location called The Hive here in Wichita. You can contact me through Delaine@DelaneMD.com to get more information on this, or you can check out DelaneMD.com/events to get registered. If you are local, please come out. If you are not local and you want to have this streamed to you, please send me an email and I will get you the link so that you can stream this live and be present for that seminar and get all the information. Basically, the seminar is going to be covering reversing type 2 diabetes. So if you're a type 2 diabetic, if you've been diagnosed with prediabetes, if you were a gestational diabetic, or if you're concerned that you're going to develop diabetes because you know you eat badly and it runs in your family, all of those things can be helped with the information I'm presenting in this seminar. Please register and come on out for that information that I'll be providing. I also want to let everybody know I'll be doing a holiday boot camp series of Facebook Lives. These will be focused on helping people succeed and even thrive through the holiday season so they don't see a 3-point jump in their hemoglobin A1C or a 10-point gain on the scale. I'll be offering techniques and reviewing tools that people can use to rock the 2019 holiday season. So stay tuned to Facebook to catch those. If you aren't already following me on social media, you can find me at DelaneMD on Facebook and also on Instagram at DelaneMD. So as the holidays approach, I always ask my clients, this is always part of working with me during the holidays, you know, what do you find most challenging? I also posted this on social media. What's the biggest struggle folks have in the holiday season? And one of the most common responses I get to this is along the lines of, I have a thought that it's the holiday and that gives me permission to completely go off the rails. So this goes great in line with what I was already planning on talking about today. I just finished a book. It's called The Happiness Hypothesis by Jonathan Haidt. I believe it's H-A-I-D-T, D as in dog, T as in Tom. It's a book about how our brain works and how that applies to us being happy individuals. One of my main takeaways from this book, one of the parts that I feel like really weaves in well with what I teach my clients, is how this author explains the prefrontal cortex and the primitive brain. So again, this is review for folks that have worked with me or listened to my podcast in the past. There are two parts of our brain. There is the prefrontal cortex and the primitive brain. This can also be looked at as the conscious part of our brain and the unconscious part of our brain. I almost look at the four of these components on a spectrum, starting with the most primitive and the most unconscious part of our brain. So the unconscious part of our brain, and the next step to that, the next area to that, or the most closely related to that would be then your primitive brain. Your primitive brain is that part of your brain that is ruled by reward systems and instincts, right? Versus the unconscious part of your brain, which is the part of your brain that's running like your heart rate and your kidney filtration rate and those kinds of things. So you have your unconscious part of your brain. Next to that, you have that primitive part of your brain that's very archaic and old, and it runs on rewards and instincts, essentially. Rewards, punishments, and instincts. And then you have your prefrontal cortex part of your brain, and that's the part of your brain where you are utilizing pros and cons. You're weighing the, you know, pros and cons of your options and making the best decision. Sometimes you're doing this on the fly, and then sometimes you're doing this through a pattern of well-practiced behaviors. And then, of course, you have your conscious part of your brain. And that's probably the part of brain, your brain that you really tap into to do heavy problem solving. If you're in college and learning calculus or algebra or accounting or trigonometry, or it's the part of your brain that probably helped you learn how to drive a car. That's the part, the conscious part of your brain, I look at as that part of your brain that you're really putting together information and new knowledge with new skills to implement those and gain appropriate usage in your life. So this book uses the analogy of an elephant and an elephant rider to describe this unconscious slash primitive part of your brain in comparison to the conscious slash prefrontal cortex part of your brain. So when you think of the analogy of an elephant with an elephant rider, you recognize that there's no amount of coercion that a rider is going to exert on an elephant to force the elephant to do anything, right? No matter how big or strong a human rider is on the elephant, they are never going to be big enough or strong enough to force an elephant, which is a 6,000 to 12,000 pound animal, to do anything. It's just not possible. To get an animal that is that big to do something different, it takes a certain amount of training. This is the same way with our primitive brain. Our primitive brain is so used to behaving in a certain way that it is very difficult to coerce or overpower it into behaving in a different way. This is really where training comes in. Forcing the primitive brain to not want to overeat or to not want to eat highly concentrated foods or processed foods is the equivalent of a 200-pound rider trying to force an elephant to do something. Force or coercion is usually met with uprising. The elephant will eventually just override you and do what it wants, and it's the same thing with our brain. When we are trying to use willpower or discipline to keep our brains from offering us things like ho-hos, ding-dongs, peanut butter, or cups, whatever it might be, when we're trying to use willpower or discipline, eventually there's an uprising and it looks like, I just can't do this, and throwing in the towel and then eating whatever you want. Recognize that's your elephant. That is your 6 to 12,000 pound elephant doing what it wants. So how do you get this to change? You get consistent with training that elephant. An elephant can be trained to not behave in a certain way. Your primitive brain can be trained to not offer you certain things, to not continually look to certain foods to feel better, okay? So here's the deal. I don't really know what elephants do. I've not spent a ton of time around elephants. I don't know what they do, what a rider would try to get an elephant to do. So when I was thinking of this analogy, I looked at it like I would look at training a pet, a dog, a cat, but mostly a dog, right? So I have dogs and I walk my dogs. And I have dogs that do wonderfully on a leash, and then I have dogs that are less wonderful on a leash. A dog on a leash without training will chase everything. Leaves, cats, rabbits, squirrels, whatever. This is a primal drive for a dog, okay? This is a primitive brain at work in our dog. This is part of their archaic part of their brain that is driven to chase things that might be food. It wants to chase them, it wants to capture them, kill them, and then eat them. This is just how their brain works. We see this in other pets too, right? Why do cats chase strings? Because there is a function, there is a module in their brain. This is how it's been described when I've read about this in books. There is a module in their brain that is triggered. It's like the string complex or something. I can't remember exactly what it's called, but it is triggered because the string, it's called the mouse tail complex, I think. But the string looks and moves the same way its natural prey would move. So they have that module in their brain triggered, and it's a very primitive thing. It's almost instinctual for them to chase that string because it looks like their natural prey. It's a very ingrained thing in the cat mind. And of course, it takes a lot of training for your cat to learn to override that and not chase the yarn that you're trying to knit with. It's the same thing for a dog chasing a rabbit or a leaf while you're trying to walk it. It's the same thing for an elephant doing whatever an elephant might do, whatever an elephant rider wants its elephant to do. It's the same thing for our brain. It takes a certain amount of training and a lot of practice to learn how to do something different. Where I see this showing up in my life, obviously I'm not chasing leaves most of the time or cattails or I guess mice tails. Where I see this showing up is when I am driving a car. So I have always had a standard transmission. My personal cars have always been standard transmissions. I don't usually buy automatic transmission cars. So when I do get into an automatic transmission car, when I get into a car that has an automatic transmission, it doesn't have a clutch, it doesn't need me to shift anything. I just put it into gear and I can drive it. I have to be very, very conscious to not try to find a clutch and shift the car. What that looks like in an automatic car, in an automatic transmission car, is the brakes are wider in an automatic transmission. So I go to step on a clutch, and what I end up stepping on is the brake, slamming on the brakes, and then looking for a gear shifter. I will go through these series until I'm like, oh, I'm not in a standard transmission. I'm in an automatic transmission. I don't need to shift. It takes a lot of my conscious brain, my prefrontal cortex, to really be aware of where I'm at and what I'm driving and what I need to do. Because the other part, the steps to driving a standard transmission, is so ingrained in me because that's what I've always driven and that's what I usually am driving. I really have to be more conscious when I'm driving an automatic transmission car so I'm not slamming on the brake and looking for a gear to shift. So that's where I see this played out perfectly in my life, where I have that unconscious, that subconscious part of my brain that has been so well practiced in a certain pattern of behaviors and a certain pattern of events that I don't think about it. And when I'm not thinking about it, of course, I'm slamming on the brakes in an automatic transmission, or I'm looking for a gear shifter that doesn't really exist. And then I have to be really aware and conscious about what I'm doing and what I'm driving. So I encourage my clients, this is why I encourage my clients to go to every extracurricular event they can get to. Go to every office party with food. Go to every summer picnic. Go to every birthday party. Go to every Halloween party. Go to every Thanksgiving dinner. Go to every Christmas party and Christmas dinner you're invited to. Make every holiday goodie that you've always made or you think about making or you want to make. Because each time you expose yourself to these events, you're providing yourself with a new opportunity to retrain your mind and retrain those behaviors. You're training your elephant. You're training your primitive brain. Look for the places where you can apply this approach in your life. In the beginning of the podcast, I was talking about the holidays and the thought that it's the holiday and I can completely go off the rails, eat whatever I want, and ignore my eating plan. That thought leads most people to feel entitled. It leads them to feel like they have permission to go off the rails. When you do this, of course, you produce evidence that you're derailing your plan. You do this because of how practiced this thought, feeling, and action combo is for you. This is your primitive brain. And your primitive brain, dog-like, chasing a leaf or a cat, right? This is your primitive brain acting the same way a dog does when it chases a leaf. This is your elephant doing whatever elephants do, that your elephant rider is trying to train something different. This is how well-practiced your behaviors are in that situation, and it's so much bigger than that prefrontal cortex. It's the elephant being bigger than the rider. You cannot use willpower or discipline to override or force or coerce something different. You have to train yourself to do something differently. So, how do you train your dog or a cat to do something? And I know what you're all are thinking. You're all thinking, yeah, I use treats, so I'm going to go ahead and give myself treats. Yeah, but they're not going to be food treats. I'm not saying to use food treats to train yourself to do something different. But what I am saying is it takes a nurturing approach to train these behaviors. You can beat your animal, your dog, your cat, every time they do something bad, every time they behave in a way on the leash or they chase your yarn or whatever it is that you're trying to discourage. You can beat them, but typically that just gets a scared animal. That gets a timid, head shy animal. That's not what we're looking here. I don't want you to use a negative reinforcement or punishment to get yourself to stop behaving this way, because then that what that leads to, what that breeds is fear, and that's not what I'm going for with any of my clients. But what we can do is pair a pleasant experience with success and retraining of the mind, right? So you go to a party. And your brain offers for you to go back to the food table repeatedly, or to go get that treat, or to go get something you didn't plan for. And your brain will say, but it's the holidays, so it's okay. All of this is expected. When you aren't compelled to behave in that way, and when you behave in a different way, you pair that with a positive reinforcement. Maybe that looks like giving yourself 30 extra minutes after the kids go to bed so that you can have a nice warm bath. or you can take 30 extra minutes reading a favorite book. Maybe you schedule a pedicure, or maybe you schedule a massage. It doesn't always have to be something that costs an arm and a leg, but some sort of positive reinforcement to start training your primitive brain to behave in a different way. Of course, recognizing at some point you don't need that positive reinforcement. This is just the way you behave. At some point, you don't need to give your dog treats every time you get on a leash, every time you take your dog for a walk, because your dog just knows this is how I behave when I'm on a leash. Interestingly, when your dog walks on a leash without pulling, it likely enjoys the walk more. It's not exhausted, and it's not constantly fighting against you while you're out on your walk. That dog likely enjoys those walks more. Certainly, you, as the prefrontal cortex to that, enjoy those walks more. The rider, or the prefrontal cortex, enjoys the experience much more when there's not this fight, when there's not this constant bickering or constant chatter in your brain about food. And when you train yourself to not have that, think of how much more you're going to enjoy holiday parties. Think about this. What if your prefrontal cortex didn't experience disappointment after every big event that you go to, after every social event that you go to? What if your prefrontal cortex enjoyed those events, knowing that it wasn't going to be compelled by foods that make it sick, that it doesn't even like usually and certainly doesn't need? How would that be? What would that be like? How enjoyable would those experiences be? So this is the work. Re-listen to this podcast if you need to. Write down some of the examples of positive reinforcements. Write down these steps of where our unconscious brain and our primitive brain try to have behaviors that really don't serve us, and how we can retrain those with our prefrontal cortex and that conscious part of our brain and develop new behaviors that serve our body. Look into that, see where you can apply it. This is how you learn to handle the holidays. This is how you learn to handle any social event where there's food and you're trying to tell yourself it's special and it's okay to totally not keep your word to yourself and go off plan. This is how you learn to do that. You offer yourself multiple different experiences to practice a new behavior until you get retrained to where it's second nature. Then you're truly liberated by all those, from all of those temptations, all of those things you struggle with so much. It's not willpower. It's not discipline. It's retraining it. Give this a try. Tell me how it works. I hope everyone has a fabulous Thanksgiving. Think of all the wonderful things you're thankful for, even these struggles that sometimes are so hard. Think about how thankful you are that you still have your health well enough to where it means something. These struggles and learning how to master these struggles means something. It can make a difference in your life. Have a great week. I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe and share with your friends and family. Also, leave me a review. If you want to resolve your diabetes naturally without any pills or injections, I can help you. Visit DelaineMD.com for more information. Click on the Work With Me tab, send me a message, and we can set up a mini coaching session. You guys have a great week. I'll talk to you soon.